Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Tuesday noonday Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. We are in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and we're picking up here now at verses 11 to 12. Can we have someone read verse 11 to 12, please?
Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books.
Okay, so this is this is where we are before the throne upon which Christ sits as judge in all. Can someone flip to John 5:22 and someone John 5:27 and John 5:27.
John 5:22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son.
Okay, 27.
And has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man.
Amen. So we're coming to where we see where the scripture has told us previously, and not only in John, but you get it in Matthew, Luke also, where Jesus is, where God has given his Son the keys, the only one to open that book, and the only one to judge. Okay, so let's go to 13 to 15, someone's reading 13 to 15.
The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Now, that gave me a good question.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's finish reading, then we'll
move on. You want me to read 14?
In 15.
Okay. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire.
Okay. Now, what was your...
I thought the death in Hades was the final. You know, persons who, you know, were evil, didn't accept Christ, they died and then went to Hades.
Okay, so
I thought that was final.
So what are you asking when you're talking about in 13?
Right. When they gave up their dead.
Right. Yeah. Well, see, actually, you know, the when we leave this, when our spirit leaves the body, we're dead, earthly, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what they're talking about. Those that were buried. They were considered dead, right? Mm-hmm. So they're being raised up.
Oh.
When you leave, when the spirit leaves his body, we're considered dead, right?
Right.
All right. As far as the earth, the world is concerned, right?
Right.
So when the judgment comes, everybody is raised up, because that was dead. Okay. You follow me?
I'm following you now.
Okay.
Okay.
So when, and there are going to be people who are going to be alive, you know, when this takes place. Everybody ain't going to be dead.
Right.
But those who died, and this is what confuses a lot of atheists, because they say, how can this happen with people back in the 5th century? How are you going to question God?
Right.
You know, but they will be. All of them that were dead and buried will be brought back to life, and they will be judged. Now, what form they're going to be in, don't ask me. if they're going to be in their body that they were before or what, but they will be judged. You get it?
I got you now.
Okay.
This is what the writer is saying here. These are unbelievers.
Yeah, the unbelievers are the ones who are going to be judged and sent to hell. Okay, Hades. In some context, the hell is referred to as the grave, as hell, as Hades. But it's all eternal separation from God.
I just thought that was final. I didn't realize.
Well, we got to look at the resurrections. We go back and look at your resurrection. Yeah, and then you'll see how this falls in. So, the great white throne of judgment this is what we call the great white throne of judgment. God opens the books of heaven and shows each one. Of the last of each one of the lost, rather. These are the lost. These are the people who rejected Christ. Okay, mm-hmm. These are the race. It shows their loss, the loss, a record of his or her life. Now that's incredible. We're talking about people all the way back before we were even where there is a recording of everything that everyone has done. And they will the record of his or her life of rebellion against God. They also see the love of God in the effort he has expanded to affect their salvation and in the blood of the Son. In other words, they're going to see what they didn't want to see before. They're going to see it. They're going to get a chance to see with them how God sent his Son. The whole thing is just going to come just clear to them. Now people today, they're so full of themselves and intellect and information and everything, that if it's not scientifically proved, they don't accept it. But when this comes, I don't care if you won the Nobel Scientific Peace Prize from MIT or whatever, or from wherever, you are going to see.
Yes.
You're going to see. You're going to see. How just he was, and all given them the opportunity. Mm-hmm. The opportunity. And you kind of get a little glimpse of that when you remember where the rich man and the poor man, you know, and the poor man's in Abraham's bosom, which is a symbolic of him being in God's grace. That boy over there wanted some water. Then he couldn't get no water. He said, well, go tell my brothers so they don't have to go through it. And no, mm-mm. You had your time. You had your time. The record books of heaven portray the unmistakable detail will show all their selfishness, their cruelty, and their envy. And every aspect of their rejection of God, they're going to see. Mm-hmm. They're going to see. Of God's authority. And they see clearly why their names are not in the book of life.
Wow.
They're going to see it. Now, all the wicked will be fully convinced of God's justice in the sentence of eternal death pronounced against them. They're going to see it. They're going to see it. And all of God's judgments are seen to be fair and honest. The entire host of the lost will be down, will bow down and confess that God is just. Can somebody turn to Romans 14:11? They're gonna see it. Man does not have the final say so. Man does not have it. Romans 14:11.
For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.
Mm-hmm. And they will. They will. Now, we as students of the word, I don't have to caution you all, but I may have to caution someone on the podcast, don't try and put this in a context of dots, you know, because you're not going to, you're going to have to accept what the word says and get the understanding where you are, because this is too big for you to connect everything together. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not. But God said, what did he say? I put my word before my name. So his word will never return to him void. And God is not man that he should lie. And all of this is founded on your faith and your belief in who God is. Because we're at the time now where, we have so much, man has so much, has acquired so much knowledge that, you know, even beginning to change genders from one to another and cloning animals and, and all of this, we have come to a sphere of, it's just absolutely, I'm just awestruck. And yet, and with that, so much arrogance. Mm-hmm. So much arrogance that we know, and going to the moon like we did something, okay? They keep going up there. They may stay, and it may not make it back. You know, some things you need to. But this is like the same spirit of the Tower of Babel. It's the same spirit, always going to rise above God. No, you're not. And the sooner you accept that, the better off your life will be. But you guys, people who. Well, that takes us out of chapter 21, and for this, and now what we're going to do is this is the last of our handouts. Now, if anybody wants the complete set, what I need you to do is to go back and look at all the handouts you have and write down what pages you have so that I know what pages you don't have, and then I can get those to you. So I don't have to be doing a whole set and don't need to do. So some have pages of and others don't. If you just look at all your pages and let me know what pages you don't have. The handouts go up to page 17. So from 1 to 17 you need to look, because you're going to get 15, 16, 17 a day. So what you don't have, just let me know and we'll make provision for you to get the rest. Is that okay? Okay, so here we have, Sister Rose, the 15, and this is going to pretty much, 16. But as we finished the last two chapters, there will be some nuggets that I will, as I'm studying and researching, okay, this is 1600, that I will take down and give you for your, for your further study reference. But I am hoping that these outlines, summary outline can have given you a bit more clarity on a lot that we, and this is 17. Okay. Okay, so we're finishing. We started with the section of end time strategy, and this is the last part of the end time strategy continued. So we're looking at now the end time strategy of hope during trials and affliction, and under this area we're trying to give give ideas of how this is going to look. For instance, under the shadow of trials and afflictions, when our prospects on earth look bleak, the belief in Christ is coming for us at the rapture is a light at the end of the tunnel. What we're saying here is that even though we will not be here, we will be caught up before the whole thing happens with the wrath of God showing. But we're going to see some things now before we're gone. We're going to see some, and if your eyes are open, you're seeing them now. But they're going to manifest even greater with diseases and famine and greater greed and people rising up against governments and so forth. It's going to happen. We may even have, we're going to have some unrest in our country with tyranny. We're going to see that. And people who have, at this point, seem to look secure in their positions with money and jobs with IT, technical jobs, and research and all that.
100%.
It's going to start floundering. And it's going to start drying up. And people are going to become unrest, especially in democratic countries where the income equity is just really not even balanced. It's just way down and up. And you're going to see it. We're going to see some things. We're going to have family members who are going to go through some things that are going to be just heart-wrenching. There's going to be job loss. Again, homes being lost. There are going to be all sorts of things. And so we're going to see some things. And this will give us a time to begin to witness to people. Now, what will happen is the enemy is going to have them so angry and so upset at their situation and circumstances that he's going to have them focus on that. But when we stay steadfast to doing what the Lord has called us and bold enough to stand out there and say, you know what? There is a God who can reconcile all this. And let me tell you about it. That'll give us some entree.
Well, folks are nervous now because they keep talking about privatizing Social Security.
Yeah, privatizing Social Security.
And a lot of old people depend on it.
Right, and also privatizing the Internal Revenue.
Right, right.
You know, so privatization is another form of unethical capitalism. And it allows people to become richer and people to become poor. And that's just the way it is. And that's where that God is reigning in America big time. Big time. I call the Trump children the A, greed, C. Ambition, greed, and corruption. You know, that's what they are. I mean, when you look at the last year, they made what was it, Bobby? Something like $14 million that they made while they're just 1 year while the father was in. And you know, it's just so much corruption. It's just, I mean, how are you going to be the Secretary of Transportation and your husband is the Speaker of the House? Senate. It is considered the House, the Senate though.
Senate.
And you're gonna get programs and projects passed through in his district while he's running for his reelection so that he can capitalize on that.
Yep.
That's straight out. There's so much face in us that we don't know where to begin. You know, it's just so much coming at you. It's almost, I think some people becoming numb to it. Okay, here it is again. Here's another one. You know, and it's like after a while, when you become numb, you become passive. And when you become passive, it's like you do what you want. You know.
I think we feel like there's nothing we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, exactly.
It will be when you go to the voting box. Okay, so what we have is when things look bleak on the earth, the belief in Christ is coming, rapture is a light into the tunnel. Though many sorrows and suffering, millions of Christians have clung desperately to the promise of resurrection and the union with the Lord at the rapture. And that's what we have to cling to, that this is not where we are going to be. This is not where we're going to be. And it gave them strength to endure counting earthly things and even their own lives as of no account, so they might with eternity with Christ. So take courage, lift up your head, and expect the coming of the Lord, knowing that your future is safe and sure in His hands. Now you have a sense of destiny. And like Abraham, we should see ourselves as strangers and sojourners in a world that lies under the sway of the wicked one. We read that in 1 John 5:19. Since our future is not here, we need a vision of the city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:10. In our pilgrimage through this world, we need a strong sense of destiny. And that's something that we really, I would challenge you all, for people in your family who profess to be Christians, just to ask them where they are in terms of where do you see your destiny? And I can speak for my own family, okay? I can pretty much safely say that one that I would ask would be speechless. I don't know. And you're a professing Christian. Why you don't know? Because you don't know the Word. Because the Word is going to tell you. It's going to tell you. So when the Lord comes, for us at the rapture, He will take us to our eternal home in New Jerusalem, and we see that in the Scriptures. We should not identify ourselves with this world and become one with its materialism, pleasure-seeking, and moral and spiritual depravity. Well, you talk about depravity. We have gay month, all right. So now, you know, they want to hang the gay flag up with the American flag.
Ooh. And they've done it in some states.
Yeah, in some states they have.
Black.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and they even teaching it in the elementary schools, so that it's a part of inclusion. So that little children, our little grandchildren, our precious little children, 7 and 8 years old, and maybe some younger, that'll just be a norm. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing the depravity.
Also, I mean, they could put the Confederate flag back up if they're gonna fly that one. Don't put that one back up.
Careful what you say, because that may be happening.
So we don't want to be poorly motivated and motivating people without a mission. We are happy to proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. While serving the Lord as faithful witnesses, we should always keep our eye on Him, the bright and morning star that shines above the dark horizon of a troubled and hostile world. The morning star tells us that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Before Jesus appears as the Son of Righteousness, when every eye shall see Him, He will come secretly to snatch His bride.
Amen.
So here we have the great significance of the rapture, and I think this is a point where many of us, because we're not, the book of Revelation is not taught in many houses, and many people have no idea. They have a fear of it, but the book of Revelation brings hope. It brings hope. In the light of all the biblical facts about the rapture, it's clear that this is an extremely important teaching to all believers. There's at least 12 different aspects of the rapture that's needed to be properly understood and taken account of. And I'm not going to read all 12, but I'll just go through the 12 steps. It's a direct intervention by God. It's a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. With the Lord Jesus Christ. It is associated with the first resurrection. It separates true and nominal believers. Now, anybody have any idea what a nominal believer is? Nominal.
He was just going through the motion.
You got it. You got the ones that...
It's kind of like lukewarm.
Huh?
Lukewarm.
Yes. They belong to a church. They're on the church rolls, and they pay, you know, whatever they do, they give. And then every year they get involved in the turkey giveaways and the Christmas thing, and that's it, you know. No one on their job pretty much knows that they're a believer. But they do make sure they get to the church building at least 3 times a Sunday, at least twice a month at least. They're nominal, you know. And nominal Christians are, another term for them, are cardinal Christians. Okay. So, and then it marks the end of the church age. It makes way for the revelation of the Antichrist. It's an escape from divine wrath. It is a motivation for steadfastness. It summons to the judgment seat of Christ. It is a journey to the marriage of the Lamb. And it is a journey to our eternal home. It will promote us to be co-rulers with Christ. So in your study time, you can read more of these, and there's some scripture references that I've given you. But at this point, we all have a better understanding of the resurrection, right? There's not a resurrection. There are resurrections. Mm-hmm. It's plural. Mm-hmm. It's plural. So any questions or comments so far on this?
I was just thinking when you were talking about the economy, it was going to be like the people back in the day who would commit suicide, mm-hmm, because they lost all their money. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're seeing it now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not on that wide scale, but it's happening. Look at Kate Spade. All the money she had, what was she doing depressed?
Well,
money don't make you happy.
Well, you know, we have Rose. They haven't reported a lot on this, but the farmers are really catching a bad deal on this tariff thing. And so, in parts of, I think it's Iowa or either Montana, there have been numerous suicides of farmers.
Wow.
Who have committed suicide. Because they're losing, and they can't. There's no way back that they can regain.
Wow.
And that's been their family, generations in their family, they've just commit. They haven't reported, but there have been numerous cases of farmers who committed suicide, mm-hmm, because of the loss of losing their farms.
You know, based upon. Based upon a comment we made on page 15, talking about job and suffering, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Just this past week, one of the largest employers of the United States brought up the fact that they're trying to get rid of people and use robots.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen.
That's going to happen.
One of the reasons I don't like to go through the self-service line at Home Depot, and I got Home Depot stock, you know, is for loss. You lose a person when you do these things.
Exactly.
When you go through all these robot machines. I said, one of the things you need to look at is getting the person to repair the machine, tear the machine up. Then repair the machines. And that'll happen. That'll happen. We talked about, I just showed my elder, you mentioned about the flag a few minutes ago. And just today, CNN posted a statement about a place in Michigan, the only flag they're allowed to fly is the gay flag, the city in Michigan. I think about 3 years ago, I always teased my wife, you know, when she'd get on my last nerve. I said, I'm going to North Dakota. My daughter would ask me, I said, why are you going to North Dakota? I said, there's nobody up there, no black folks, and just a few Indians. And I said, you already know how to send smoke signals to the Stone Mountain. Pray tell, I'd be looking north and don't have to read smoke signals. But there's a city in North Dakota that was bought by a Caucasian guy. No blacks are allowed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
No blacks are allowed. Somebody said, right, y'all remember, somebody saw that other than me?
I do, yeah.
I've heard of it.
This is a city in North Dakota that a guy, I mean, it's not a little small parcel of land. This is a city that no blacks are allowed. Mm-hmm. So all what we're saying is happening before our very eyes. We recognize it, and sometimes we don't recognize it. I'm not going to say we become so passive that we don't take note of it that we can't do anything about it. But when we allow things to happen, and I get so involved in it because I look at Russia and the United States. Why Russia? Why the United States? But if you look at Russia, only people in Russia are the same mild Caucasian people. So when we're talking about make America great again, as a person lives here, what do you call great? When was America great again? So who are you trying to get America to be like? So we're trying to get rid of people that's not like you. Mm-hmm. And when we saw the word stranger in the second paragraph there, in the Old Testament, the immigrants are called Jewish people. There were references being strangers mm-hmm. in a foreign land. Mm-hmm. That's how they was referencing this. So everything that we hear and everything that we see, especially in Revelation, we see it before our very eyes.
Yes.
It's taking place, mm-hmm. it's taking root. R-A-T, right now, it's taking root right now. And it's not going to stop until he comes back.
That's right. That's right.
Even with the economy, they showed Amazon's warehouses are now using robots
mm-hmm.
to pull orders,
mm-hmm.
put them in line, and then as they get to wherever they go, they got one person that's releasing it and sending it back. I'm like, look at the staff. I mean, look at the employees they have gotten rid of because of these robots.
Mm-hmm. Not just and then at Amazon.
A drone will deliver it to your house.
Yeah. Oh, but what about the other companies that was affected by Amazon?
Yeah, all the other merchants.
Because they put a lot of companies out of business because of their catalog.
Yeah.
Catalog business.
Yeah.
And they actually get the merchandise from the companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not their merchandise.
You're not ordering from Amazon. You're actually ordering. I mean, you order through Amazon, but you're actually ordering from that company that carries that product.
Very
you're just
hard.
Doing it via Amazon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're just talking about the robots. It's kind of sounds like the Sears Roebuck machine, the wash and dry machine, the thing. Sears Roebuck doesn't make any kind of refrigerator or stove or anything at all. So you get rid of that and go to the end guy and get the parking to serve cheaper. It was amazing. Every army cap that I have in my house as we speak, every one, I don't even like that word. Every one of them, you look at it, you can flip it up, made in China.
Yeah.
Made in China.
What I was going to say about the robots, my husband worked at Ford Motors, and when he got ready to retire, they like had four people on the line they replaced with one robot, and that eliminated all those people.
Mm-hmm.
And right before he got retired, they was in the process of bringing robots in there.
That's
why
he
called
out
to do what he was doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are. And now if you go to McDonald's.
You have to pay no insurance, you have to pay all of it.
You order from the kiosk.
You don't have to order from the kiosk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
if you think black unemployment is high now, when they start removing that, we're gonna really have a more than unemployment. We're gonna have a public health problem because there's going to be more crime,
more drugs.
But this you got to see. This is the work of the enemy, trying to sabotage the work of God, and greed and corruption is reigning over America. It's raining, and it's so sad that it's infiltrated the church, even just really boldly. The churches are just like businesses now.
Mm-hmm.
Run them like businesses. You know, the conference and the concerts are run like worldly.
I got myself in trouble, that's my word. at my wife's church. Remember there? She said, my background, I'm an accountant. That's what I do. I retired as manager of accounting. I do numbers, balance sheet. I do all that kind of stuff. I had an issue with the pastor when I told him about our business in the church, okay? And he told me the church is all business. That's a true statement. I said, but there should be some business in the church.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't accept that term.
Mm-hmm.
As I told him, if the church ordained you to go to Columbus, Ohio, to a convention to give you $2,000, and your expenses were $2,500, I think you should bring back receipt for $2,500. The church owed you $500. Contrary to that, if they gave you $2,000, if you spent only $1,500, you owe the church $500. Oh, no, we can't do, no, it don't work that way. Church can't do a business.
Well, I don't know what kind of business principles he's talking
about. The fact that he spent, say, $2,000, and the church only gave him $1,500. The church owed him $500. But he don't want to pay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So you don't understand that you have to use business principles.
Principles. There are some principles.
Right. And it's the accountability clause.
And my battery just went bad. Oh. It just went, But the business should, there should be some business in the church. The church is not a business, but there should be business in the church.
Yeah, there are business principles that you have.
It should be.
You gotta have some business in the church.
So with that, then next week we will be picking up in chapter 21. And Father, we just thank you for this time you have given us, Lord God. We thank you again, O God, for greater understanding and revelation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your people, Lord God, will be refreshed and restored and find, Lord God, just extraordinary hope in what you have prepared for us, and that you have not given us a spirit of fear. We are more than conquerors. We're victorious in Christ Jesus. So as we keep our mind on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will walk, reign, and live in peace in spite of and despite of what may be around us. Lord, I pray that our light may shine so that someone, Lord, will be blessed by a testimony, a witness, Lord God, by us. Use us, Father, to your glory. It is our desire to be used by you and to give you all the glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.